Now on the Country Hour, while ever people are talking about Australia's newest meat processing facility, they're probably also talking about property prices, because they've been at high levels for some time now. And while the price of water has meant records for some in irrigation country, we're going to talk now about land geared for beef production, what prices are doing and what we could see off the back of this beef market buoyancy. No better place to have a yak about it at Beef Week. I mean, people are known to speculate about property prices at cattle sales, country school fates, even church. So suffice to say, it's the talk of the town, perhaps not unlike church. We're going to glean who's in heaven. Are the sellers in heaven, the agents, are the people who market them, or the buyers who've secured hallowed turf, or is it the banks? I'm joined here on the Queensland Country Hour by Colliers Sean Hendy and Rabobank's Brad James. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Ali.
Lovely to have you both here at Beef Week. Let's speak to values first of all. We've seen some huge prices paid for irrigation water, and then, of course, land associated with that has done very well too. What about beef?
Yeah, Ali, the markets have certainly enjoyed a very good time. I believe that market is a very efficient mechanism at the end of the day. We've seen tremendous, you know, increases in value in the cotton industry, as you've said, and that's been driven by productivity efficiencies in water. And I think we're seeing the same in the beef industry as well. We're seeing the efficient operators who have got the capacity, certainly enjoying the confidence in the industry with low interest rates, strong commodity prices, because of domestic demand and herd rebuild, but also the global craving for protein. It's good times for the industry.
In terms of some of the deeper analysis into land values, can you fill me in on some of that? I mean, obviously it's apples and oranges between, you know, a place up in the Gulf as compared to a place in central Queensland as compared to a place down closer to the border. But are there some real trends there?
Yeah, there certainly are. To sort of help compare apples with apples, you know, within those different regions, we use a denominator called average, an adult equivalent. So we can sort of look at what's happening, you know, in northern markets, central Queensland markets and southern markets. And obviously we've got different breeding systems with operating systems within those geographic regions. But, you know, there is relativity, you know, at the end of the day, and we have to understand, you know, those livestock production systems and their drivers of profits, and the best way of doing it is through that old equivalent. So it's very important to be able to understand carrying capacities and production systems in regions and the economics, and that's why we sort of believe that, you know, yeah, sure, prices are strong, but deeper analysis, we're seeing the efficient growers, operators doing well.
So how does it compare in term? And I know you can't compare sales, you know, say when something like the Stanbroke breakup was happening and there was really big money. Is it comparable to around that time?
Well, when you take into account, okay, the cost of money, what was happening, you know, a different period of interest rates, we've got, you know, there's been an evolution in production systems. You know, properties are becoming more efficient, greater utilisation. So one of the things that the beef industry has, particularly in the north, you know, the opportunity is to increase that utilisation. So we're still seeing properties that have got a level of utilisation of, you know, water and pasture of maybe about 15-20%. You know, with better management, better utilisation through fencing and water, you know, we could see that utilisation go up to 30 or 40%. So there's still significant opportunities for production capability increases.
So there's value in a block that isn't finished, that needs development?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, the cost of developing that additional adult equivalent is, at the moment, significantly less than the cost of acquiring a new adult equivalent.
Thank you, Sean Hendy from Colliers. You've talked about interest rates a couple of times there, so let's talk about that with you, Brad James from Rabobank. Money's cheap. It's the talk of the town. Is now the time to buy for people?
I don't think interest rates should be a predeterminer as to whether or not you're going to expand and buy, but it's certainly an enabler. I think the important thing with the dynamics of the entire industry really is this general alignment of the planets. When we think of commodity price, interest rates, access to finance is important. A healthy banking system is important, trying not to be parochial, but if we don't have that and we haven't got access to leverage capital, we find it hard to expand. And then, of course, the commodity price is good too. But I think it's important for anyone doing their sums on expanding, whilst interest rates are low, to do your assessment on how it looks when they're higher. not 20%, but certainly higher. And we tend to do that as well with our clients. Just watching that market move has been quite extraordinary. Sort of think back 20 years, 2001. Very easy to reflect back on country that would sell for $1,500 a beast area in, say, that Middle Mount area, maybe the southern part of that, the southern part of the northern Brigalow Belt, if you like, probably south of Middle Mount, more breeder country. I recall a place out there particularly sold for $1,500 a beast, and I was aghast. And within a very short amount of time, up to 2007, pre-GFC, that same property changed hands for $3,000 a beast. Today, that property would probably change hands for, perhaps $8,000 or $9,000 a beast. That's breeder country. So, and all the while, during that early part of 2000, the bullock price was around $3.20 over the hooks. Whereas today, I think it's closer to over $6 over the hooks on various grids. So the correlation of the commodity and where it's trading at versus where the land is trading at is not there, and it never has been there. So that's why the predeterminant to someone's ability to expand with low, high interest rates doesn't matter, is the level of gearing that they have to carry to go and do that. And the cash flow doesn't lie.
And there's certainly plenty to choose from at the moment in terms of properties on the market. Very conscious here at the ABC that we can't put a big fat ad for certain properties on the market as we speak. But Richard Brosnan from Ray White Rural has a property on his books. It's owned by a well-known grazing family and he's put it out as an EOI. I asked him about the types of people who have been taking a peek at that place, but he didn't give me much.
Can't talk about any property in particular, Arlie, but generally overall, the property market is very buoyant, very strong. There's obviously very good producer interest, especially in central Queensland.
So that's family farms?
Family farms. A bit of a pent-up frustration trying to grow and expand the family with what's going on, so it's a great succession. It's great for the industry.
Corporates, internationals?
Corporates, yeah, they're always in the background analysing what they need to do on their asset value, so they're always there. Internationals, probably a little bit more limited and probably more timed to the corporates these days and the current environment from the last 12 months.
You surprised with the amount of interest?
I'm not surprised. We've seen a pent-up frustration for about the last 3 or 4 years, people trying to acquire stuff, the strong cattle market, low interest rates, commodity looks good. There's just an urge to grow and it's great for the industry.
Richard Brosnan from Ray White Rural. On to another cattleman, a well-known cattleman, Cameron McIntyre. He's bought a big property near Bohemia, dropped some $22 million just recently. He's told me what he sees in the future of the industry.
Oh, it's about half an hour from home. It's not too bad a place. It's about 12 or 13,000 acres. It's got some little bit of forest country and mainly softwood sort of country. Needs a bit of work doing on it. But hopefully it'll end up a good place. It'll fit in with our other properties.
It was a rather big price tag. Is $22 million the reported price correct?
Yeah, it's probably about $2 million over what I thought we'd have to pay for it. Yeah.
Got the bank manager on speed dial, no doubt, as a lot of people do when you're looking to acquire property in this market. Why do you see strength? Why is that good value in your mind?
Arlie, we've had a good run. We've always been in the cattle industry, and we've had a good run out of it. And except for the cattle depression, any time we've ever bought a property, it's been at the top of the market. We don't seem to be able to pick the bottom. But, you know, capital gains has always been very good and the cattle market's been good to us. So if we didn't stay on the merry-go-round, you'd never get on later on, because who knows where it's going to go. And this might bring us unstuck, but we'll keep going.
You're one of those family farmers who have generations underneath you. You're looking to pass it on and build something big here. Have you got confidence in that?
Oh, yeah. I think we've got to. The kids enjoy it. Our son Tom and his wife Liz, you know, they've got three little kids and they're very interested in the whole show and got good staff, and it was just a logical progression without looking at the price. Place was there, it was suitable, and yeah, hopefully it'll work out for us.
That's Cameron McIntyre, just recently paid $22 million for a property near Bohemia. And that price, I mean, it seems like a big price for a block, does it not, Sean Hendy?
On a dollar per acre basis, it's certainly up there with the top, you know, the top end of the range for the market. I don't know the block specifically, but I know some of the country in that area, and And the values, you know, from, you know, discussions with other people, when we look at an adult equivalent basis, seems to be falling in line, you know, in terms of a dollar per AE. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to sort of delve into that sale a little bit more detail and see where it sits. And, you know, with some of the work we're doing on, I'll be looking at that pretty soon too.
And you're busy?
Yeah, very busy at
the
moment.
Car filled up, or are you to planes nowadays?
Bit of both, yeah. And at the moment, I've got work, you know, spreading from, you know, basically the Carpentaria through to Griffith. So, yeah.
Very good. And Brad James, what about you? Speaking very broadly, of course, are you seeing more people than... sorry, that's directly. And what about you, Brad James, speaking to the future of something like the beef industry? Obviously, the banking sector as a whole has a lot of confidence in it. Is that true? And what about the future?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. So our level of confidence in the broad sectors is high. Not immeasurably high, but high. We have cautious optimism on the beef industry at the present time, particularly around those land prices. If it was land, that was not lamb.
Yes.
Someone thought I said lamb the other day. And I think it's important that we keep a measured eye on where things are going with the industry.
The risks? What do you say the risks at?
Well, the risks... The cash flows never lie. The numbers never lie. The amount of revenue and the expenses that you need to lay into that business to acquire a property, they tell the true story. The question for everyone going into an expansion mode is what happens if? And everyone needs to do that. The value of that land is largely immaterial, providing the cash flow can sustain whatever you've chosen to pay for it. And those figures never lie. I think different people have different tolerances for risk. Some people have a greater level of tolerance for risk and have a greater vision for where the market's going. But at the end of the day, I think most everyone who buys these assets tends to buy intergenerational assets. They're not trading properties. So the value of the place that they buy is largely immaterial, providing the cash flow they can generate can service it. And some people need to borrow, some people don't need to borrow, ironically, to do this. So there's just so many different dynamics at play. But so far as the bank goes, wherever we've got leveraged capital, wherever people have needed to borrow and create an expense to acquire a property, it's prudent for us to make sure that if it gets dry, or when it gets dry, which then has an impact on productivity, as we know, and if price is correct, and if interest rates go up, that they can sustain that position.
And due diligence, obviously the name of the game, with things like the Royal Commission looming over the whole of the banking sector's head in terms of making sure that things will work out if money is lent. Is that holding things up a bit?
Our position post-Royal Commission hasn't changed on how we view a client's sustainability. Certainly the Royal Commission played an important part in making sure that everyone was focused on the client, as we should, because it's not in our interest not to focus on a client. If their position's jeopardised, so is ours. So, but the prudence, I think, of making sure that year on... There are so many variables in agriculture. What you lay into a balance sheet is a fixed cost in terms of what you pay for a property. If that's extraordinarily high, that's the constant. The variable is the income you can generate to service it.
Brad James, thank you so much for your time. He's from Rabobank. And Sean Hendy from Colliers, thank you both. Where are you heading? Have you got lunches next?
Yeah, certainly have. Yeah.
Sportsman's lunch time. Can't miss that.
Can't miss that. Yeah. Everyone's making me hungry. They're all heading off to lunches. We'll have a lovely time, and thanks for joining us on the Country Hour.
Thanks
for having us.
Much appreciated.